Blog Talk Radio.
Life, love, and wellness.
Necessarily the views held by the network itself. Please use discretion when tuning in. Thank you.
Hey, everybody. Greetings and welcome to Truthful Tuesdays right here on Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show. I am Sandy Rogers, and it is my honor and pleasure to be your hostess, your navigator through tonight. And, you know, every Tuesday, man, I get hyped up. I be excited because this is like my Christmas, and I get 52 of them because the guests that come on are just so filled with passion and compassion for the work that they do and the knowledge that they have, and they're anxious to share it with people. And tonight is no different from any other Tuesday night. So just hang on. We'll be right back to our guests, right? But there's a couple of things that we always do before we get the show started. And the first most important thing is paying homage and giving thanks to the ancestors, to all of our ancestors for being with us always, constantly, consistently, and especially on Tuesdays, as we have a tendency to discuss issues that are not ordinarily talked about in an open environment, you know, maybe whispered in the corner, but not openly. And so we know that the ancestors come to give us courage to have these discussions and to be truthful and to be honest and to be open so that we live a better life. So ancestors, thank you, because we know we're standing on your shoulders for strength, for tenacity, for courage, for bravery, for all that we need to do what we do. We trust you got us. We trust you got our backs, our fronts, our tops, and our bottoms as we move forward. And for all of that and more, we love you. We love you now, and we love you forever. Ashe, ashe. Next, we anchor ourselves in positive energy, also called affirmative reading. And this is actually from something that I have authored. I do a daily inspirational message. It's an international web-based ministry. And so I want to share this with you. If you're interested in reading or receiving this daily message delivered to your email, just check out revsandy.wordpress.com. Today's message is called DNA. The mighty and majestic oak tree comes from a tiny acorn. Within the DNA of the acorn is the awesome oak tree. Wow, from a tiny seed comes a huge, sturdy creation. Are you waiting for permission to grow and flourish? Is your vision set on wonder and possibility? Can you see the tree, your oak tree? What are you waiting on to happen before you accept the greatness that is within you? The Most High, Tao, Allah, Buddha, Ascended Masters have passed their DNA on to you. Yes, it is within you. You have been bestowed with a mind of greatness. Creation lives within you. You are fully equipped with all knowing and all intelligence for success. You are an offspring of the greatest mind and spirit ever. So we repeat, I am created with absolute love. My DNA radiates and circulates freely within me. I am fortified with incredulous possibility. And again, that's called DNA. That's at RevSandy.wordpress.com. So it's all about life. It's all about love. And it's all about wellness. So tonight's show is called You Don't Have to Stay Stuck, featuring a very dear friend of mine. We just met, but I feel like I've been knowing her my whole life. I even gave her a new title. She's a nurse, Kadika Miller. She's going to be with us shortly. But before we get started, you know, audience, you're always invited to join in the discussion. All comments are welcome, and our intention is that every voice is heard. So you can reach us at 516-531-9819 and just push 1 on your dial to let us know that you want to speak live on air with us. The only thing that I ask of you once your line is open is that you mute the phone when you're not talking so that it ensures the highest quality of playback. A lot of people like to listen to the shows repeatedly, and they don't stay up quite this late at night, and so they listen to it after the show has already aired. And if for whatever reason you would like to check any of the shows or all of the shows, this show in particular, you can always go back to www.blogtalkradio.com/Sandy Rogers, and that's SandyRogers. So thank you for listening to Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show. We're going to take us a quick music break, and then when we come back, I'm going to bring on this outstanding, incredible nurse, Kadika Miller, and let her talk to you about you don't have to stay stuck. We'll be right back, you guys.
It on my chain, wearing it round my neck. I'm
old sister Jill Scott got us revved up, right? Because we're going to live our life like it's golden because we don't have to stay stuck. That's what Nurse Kadika Miller told me as we were talking just a week ago, actually. We are brand new friends with one another, and she is such a delightful, spirited, passionate person about the work that she's doing. And so, again, she's a psychiatric nurse, and she has a keen passion in helping others discover their tender spot of healing. I just like how that sounds, tender spot of healing. And one of her many pathways is changing the course for herself and others in journaling. Kadika also finds tremendous value in wellness retreats. She openly shares her past experiences and clearly understands that others' traumas could be hers as well. She says sometimes we must disrupt the status quo to get to our authenticity. We must be willing to go outside that imaginary box to find our perfect life, even when that goes against what others have told us. You know, those well-wishers, right? There may be something better on the other side. So Kadika says, do not allow fear to paralyze you. So again, it is my pleasure, my honor, and I am just so excited and ready to hear the message that this young sister is going to be bringing to us tonight. Kadika, are you with us?
I'm with you.
All righty, all righty. Thank you for agreeing to do the show, and I know it's going to be just super fantastic. So I want to just start off with a little bit of little joke, kind of, and I'll let her finish it up. So, again, we met, it was just a week ago, 10 days actually, and she had an energy session with me, a Reiki session, and we went out and ate vegetarian, just had this incredible conversation with one another. And so when I spoke with her, I called her the day after and explained to her that I was doing mental wellness on the radio show this month. And from her conversation, from the discussion that we had had the day before, I was wondering if she would, you know, consider being a guest. And so she was good with it. You know, she didn't say no or anything, but she had a stipulation. She wanted it to be pre-recorded. So I said, well, okay. So, you know, I said, well, let me call you back and, you know, we'll talk over the details and everything. And so you see, she is with us live, and I am so happy that she changed her mind. And she can tell you the reason why if she would like to. Otherwise, we'll tell you at the end of the show. So, Kadika, thank you, and welcome to the show.
Thank you. And first and foremost, Sandy, I just want to say it is an honor and privilege to be invited to speak on your show. So I just want to put that out there. This is amazing, and I don't take this opportunity lightly.
Oh, you're welcome.
Just to share a little bit. So, yes, Ms. Sandy and I spoke, and she invited me to this opportunity. And I was a little, I'm not going to lie, I was a little worried. I'm like, oh, my God, he asking me? What am I going to say? You know, so automatically I went into fear mode. And the thing is, it's important that we push through that fear. And that's something that I've been working on for the past few years, pushing through that fear. So I didn't even get back to Miss Sandy right away. I had to go into meditation and prayer about this opportunity because I just thought, well, what am I going to say? What, you know, what are they going to think? And all of those things that you think when you're offered a, you know, something that's outside of your comfort zone. And it dawned on me. It was like, well, Kadika, the only reason you're worried is because you're scared. There was no other reason for me to say no to this opportunity. So this is just a prime example of pushing through the fears and not saying stuff.
Yes, indeed, indeed. And that is, I know we talked about a lot of things, you know, in our conversation that Saturday and even, you know, in building the show. So what I know you told me you were an introvert as well, and I just found that so hard to believe. Can you explain why you labeled or called yourself an introvert?
Yes. So it's funny because the last wellness retreat that I went on, there was a therapist by the name of Corey Lee who explained to us that even labeling yourself as an introvert or extrovert has to do more with something that happened to you in your upbringing that made you go inside of yourself. So it's not that we're born introverts. It's usually something traumatic that happened, or maybe you felt like you weren't being heard enough, and so you tend to not have the confidence to speak up and step out in certain social situations. And so therefore, you tend to kind of go inward when you start to feel anxiety or fear. And so that is something that I have dealt with. And it requires a lot of recharging, having to step back away from situations and kind of recharging my energy, recharging my mind, and building myself back up for the next phase of stepping back out into whatever that may be, whether it's a social setting or something that requires me to do something that I'm not necessarily comfortable with doing.
That's a great point, and I'm sure that many of the listeners are probably have experienced something similar to that along the lines, you know, of growing up and going through life's challenges and other circumstances, you know, that we become faced with on a day-to-day basis.
Absolutely.
And, yeah.
I will
and that
add
fear
to that.
Is real, too.
Absolutely. And what I want to add to that is, now, those who know me, they're like, ain't no way you're an introvert, girl, you know. And it's because I have that level of comfort with them. So when an introvert is in a comfortable setting, they can be very much extroverted or even both. For me, I lean more so to the introverted side. However, there are times where I'm, you know, extremely extroverted, and it's like, who is this girl? You know?
Because when you said that, I was like, well, you know, I'm not getting any of it, so I was cool with it. You know, I've had people to put labels on themselves, and I just laugh. You know, I'll be like, all right, whatever you want to do, you know, whatever, however you want to call it, it's fine with me. So tell me about the work that you do, being a nurse in the mental wellness department of a hospital or a medical facility.
Okay, so I'll start by saying this. I have been a registered nurse for 13 years now. I am currently working in psych, and I have been in psych for 11 years. And it was something that I didn't think I was ever going to do. That's not why I went to nursing school, okay? I had a totally different idea of what I wanted to be when I became a nurse, what specialty I wanted to work in. And it was not psych, especially when I went through my psychiatric rotation. I went in there thinking like, oh, my God, you know, these folks. But then I got to thinking, these folks are just like you, girl, you know. So it really what happened was when I graduated from nursing school, you have like 6 months, you know, to pay your student loans back. And so right in my senior year, I'm applying for different nursing jobs, and I applied for jobs that I didn't even want, but I just knew I needed to pay the bills. That one of them happened to be ICU nursing. They called me back, offered me the job on the spot. I'm like, oh, my God, I'm thinking in my head. I started panicking again, fear set, and I'm like, I didn't really want to do this. I don't think I can, you know, all of those different fear-based thinking thoughts. But I ended up doing that for 2.5 years. I eventually seen an opportunity to work in a psychiatric hospital and applied and got that position and fell in love with what I did. It, I mean, I would tell people what I did, and they're like, oh, girl. And I'm like, what? You know, we listen, everybody's walking around with some type of psychiatric, mental illness. You know, it doesn't matter whether it's depression, anxiety, post-traumatic stress disorder, social anxiety, bipolar, you name it. These people are in schools, grocery stores. These are administrators. These are meteorologists. I don't care what your title is. So me working in a psychiatric hospital setting, that's a more controlled environment, you know?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But again, it's something that I just fell in love with, so much so that I became a member of NAMI, which is the National Alliance of Mental Illness, and the American Psychiatric Nurses Association.
Well, that's wonderful that you have found your spot in the healing process, you know? Yeah.
Absolutely. And oftentimes I would run into patients and talk to them and read their charts and hear about their history. And I thought to myself, this could have been me.
Mm.
This could have been me. I could very well be on the other side of the desk, as they would say, because a lot of the things that these patients that were in there were going through were things that I went through. And it just so happened that God allowed me to become a nurse and serve and heal those same people.
So your job is very rewarding at the end of the day.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Again, in talking to them and listening to their story, you get to heal. And without even trying, because it's so relatable, you've been through it. You know, it's nothing like you don't want someone that's teaching you something that hasn't even been through something that, you know, they can't relate. You know, they don't.
Right,
I mean, they can have a level of empathy, but again, being that I could share some of those same stories with them, now you know you have to. It's a fine line because you can't necessarily indulge and say, oh, yeah, hey, I went through that same thing, but they find you relatable. They can sense that you care, and that's what's most fulfilling.
For everybody concerned, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. You know, to be able to be of service to a population, which I'm sure is not highlighted, you know what I'm saying? It's not held in the highest of esteem, but it's a very real population. And I like how you said it, that each of us, everybody, has some type of mental something that we're dealing with. And I would agree with you wholeheartedly because, you know, we got the road rage and we got, you know, the weepy-eyed, crying type of person. And all of that is triggered by something that's going on and more than likely, like you said, experiences from the past have triggered those memories and things. So,
absolutely.
What are some of the other treasures that you find in the people that you're serving?
The relatability. Listen, here's the thing. You can go into a hospital setting, and especially in a psychiatric environment, and there are nurses who you can sense who are just there to do their shift, to get through it, give you your meds, and keep it pushing. But then you have nurses who you could sense enjoy being there, enjoy your presence, and want to feed into them. And I got a lot of that with my previous job. I'm in somewhat of a different setting now where the patients are not there as long. But my previous job, these patients were there long term. So you got to build a good rapport with them. And you would be labeled, well, I'm going to say I would be labeled as the favorite nurse because of my approach with them. I was never the hated, you got to do this right now. I cringed when other, you know, peers would do that because it's just like, why are you speaking to them that way? They're human. You know, this is someone who could be your brother, your sister, your mother, your aunt, your friend, or yourself. So speak with them with respect, the same way that you would want to be spoken to. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead. No, you go ahead.
I was going to say, I just thought about it, too, piggybacking off of your question. I remember even having classes because there were, at one point, the hospital that I worked for lost some funding, and they weren't able to offer certain resources and things to the patients. And so a lot of the times there was a lot of idle time, and you know what idle time brings. Not good. So that being said, I remember even, like, hosting little classes with the patients, and they looked forward to it. So I would do stretches with them, yoga, exercise. And I'm not going to lie, it was some nurses and people looking at me like, what is this girl doing? Like,
yeah.
You know, I'm over there doing different exercises. But they loved it. They loved it. They would ask me, Kadika, you know, when we doing it? And I'm thinking, like, this ain't even a part of it. You know, well, hold on, let me get my work done first, you know. I got to squeeze it in. But it was just something that they loved and I loved as well because they just, you've seen a whole other side of them. And, you know, exercise is something that we need to release those endorphins. And if you're not getting that, you can sit into depression. You know, those patients needed some type of activity to kind of get them going and motivate them. And so when they lost the resources and incentives to, you know, for their behavior, there were a lot of negative outcomes from that. A lot of fights, a lot of things that occurred on the units that could have been prevented with just them finding something to do for the patients that, you know, filled them and helped restore them.
Well, you know, I'm glad you took the initiative to work with the patients in the way that you did. And then in your explanation, it kind of, so when we talk about depression, some people, I understand, can have depression, I believe I have, and not even aware that they're going through any type of issue until, you know, like it literally just kind of knocks you upside your head. At least that's what it did for me. And so how important to be in touch with our mental state, with our bodies, so that, you know, if we do start sliding in a downward spiral, that we can kind of pick ourselves up and go to a doctor or talk to a friend or get some type of, you know, assistance from somebody where we can turn it around before we get really, really, you know, in a bad spot.
Absolutely. And you're right, just to kind of piggyback again off of what you said, there are times where we are battling and dealing with depression and we don't even know it because depression looks different for many people. And oftentimes we learn over the years to mask it and it can be masked by, you know, we're acting, we're putting on a facade. But then there are deeper levels of depression where you can't even hide it. It's very obvious, at least to the outsiders. It may not be obvious to you. There was a time where I went through a deep, deep depression and didn't realize I was depressed until I came out of it, until I got the energy to come out of that. But some of those signs and symptoms would be lacking the willpower or the desire to take care of your hygiene, brushing your teeth, showering, losing interest in the things that you typically would find happiness in, not wanting to engage with friends and family, you're flat affect, meaning your face just does not have any emotion to it. You're just kind of numb. So it is very important to be aware of the signs and symptoms of what depression can look like for you or even to someone that you know and love, so that you can be able to tap into therapy or some form of mental wellness that can bring you out of that before it gets to the point to where you need medication. And not that medication is a bad thing. That's not everyone's choice of treatment. But there are times where the depression can be so severe that medication is required.
So what would be a first step if a person thinks that they're going through a depression, or if they think a friend or a family member, you know, someone that's close to them is going through a depression? You mentioned the exercise. Would that be something that would be like non-threatening that you can offer to someone? And so I guess I'm asking the question because we wouldn't want to offend or cause for the person to go deeper into a depression, you know, like you're talking about with the pills and things like that. But what would be some of the ways that we can do for ourselves, you know, like if I find myself really, you know, like not being my outgoing self, but, you know, just really kind of withdrawn and don't want to go anywhere, not even interested in going anywhere. So the getting up, getting outside, getting fresh air and moving the body.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, sun, the sun is the sunshine vitamin D. So that's always recommended because there is something known as seasonal affective disorder or SAD, which a lot of people tend to get in the winter months when there's not as much sun. So even getting out and getting sun, and if that's not an option, there are therapy lamps that you can invest in with different price ranges. You can find them on Amazon. But you simply set up the therapy light, and it provides the UV rays that you need to help to provide that to emulate the sun to help with the seasonal affective disorder. As far as the suggestions that you can make to someone that you think may be suffering from therapy, you do have to be sensitive about the subject. I would suggest maybe just asking, have you considered reaching out to a therapist? Or better yet, I know a therapist that works, you know, that worked for me in this aspect. And this is the modality that she specializes in. Would you like her contact information? You know, just something that's more soft in approach, as opposed to, girl, you need therapy, you're crazy.
Sometimes you do want to know.
Yeah, you know. I mean, and if this is something that you deal with, if you have major depressive disorder, which is going to be something that's more frequent than seasonal affective disorder, you may want to ask a friend, if you have an accountability partner or a friend, hey, this is something that I deal with. When you see me acting in this way, when you see these things, will you do, you know, you may have to have a list of things that you want that friend to do. How can they serve you? And when you start to display those symptoms. And so that way they know, hey, uh-oh, she's displaying these symptoms. She needs extra help and support in these ways.
Okay. Yeah, because, you know, with our current state of affairs in the United States, particularly, and the pandemic and what that has done to the mental wellness of so many people, I believe that, you know, there's some quiet desperation that's going on. You know, people aren't able to get out and socialize and, you know, fellowship with one another. And you know, those that have a home that they're sharing with someone is, you know, being put in situations where they weren't normally, you know, because their escape was outside of the home, and now they're forced to, you know, to stay in. So I would imagine, and I would like for you to help us to understand how that has affected what you see, or, you know, what you have to deal with on a day in and day out basis. Has there been an increase? Is there, you know, marked differences now than any other of your 13 years in this field, or what?
You know what I would say to that? Here's the amazing thing that kind of happened through COVID. A lot of people realized how important it was to have either a therapist or some type of mental wellness tool that they could use, because if they didn't have the therapist or some type of mental wellness tool in their toolboxes, there was a higher rate of depression, anxiety, and suicidology. And so now I would say the thing is there's more resources that are available for mental health in the last few years, especially. Whereas when I first got into psychiatric nursing, it was still heavy stigmatized. Again, when I would tell people I was a psych nurse, I would, even by other nurses, when I would tell other nurses what type of nurse I was, it was a, nobody wants to do that. What do you mean nobody wants to do it? I do it. You know, I enjoy it. So you really do have to have a love and passion for it. But again, I have seen a transition now to where there is a lot more care and concern about the treatment of mental health and mental illnesses that go beyond post-traumatic stress disorder for veterans. You know, we heard a lot of that before, and we were well aware, but a lot of people related post-traumatic stress disorder to just veterans. Well, anyone who has experienced a level of trauma can suffer from post-traumatic stress disorder. So it's not just a veteran thing. It's, you know, and again, this is not something that when someone is suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder, they're not out here, you know, just flying over the cuckoo's nest, you know, for lack of a better word. They can be very well controlled, and, you know, you don't necessarily have to know that. And a lot of people associate those with different mental illnesses with having a lack of control, or, you know, having behaviors that are unpredictable. And that's not true. That's only in extreme cases when medication is required and medication is not being adhered to.
So does, would the same be for the reverse, like a person that is just super, super, super active? Would that be, could that also be classified as a type of depression, or is depression just when, like, you're moping around?
So when you say super, super, super active, that took my mind to a trauma response, you know, the busyness. Mm-hmm. Is that what you're referring to when people are,
yeah,
are just busy, busy, busy? Because I will tell you, I am, listen, that is something that I have dealt with and still have to keep myself in check. When I want to run away from something, or if I'm facing something, I'll get busy. And that is a trauma response. It's not so much depression, whereas depression, you have more of a depressed state. You're hopeless and helpless and, you know, LESS, the words that are in with LESS, that tends to be what people have when they're dealing with depression, whereas trauma and trauma responses, those can look a lot different from depression within itself.
But you're saying that they can be caused by the same thing or by a trauma. Is that correct?
Absolutely. I mean, you can go in, you can go into depression from dealing with a traumatic experience, for sure, especially if it hasn't been dealt with, if it hasn't been dealt with. So, yeah, but what I'm saying is they can materialize differently. They can look differently because people handle it differently. You know, some people can, you know, of course, go through the same thing, the same traumatic event, and process it differently. You know, one person may get depressed. One person may not even be saved by it, and the other person may, suffer from post-traumatic stress disorder from that. You know, something I can, something very easily thought of would be like a car accident where, you know, there's multiple people in a car. You know, people can process how that car accident impacted them differently. Some may go into depression or have anxiety every time they get in the car or have to go down that street or, you know, to get palpitations or, you know, start to get short of breath. Those are all signs of post-traumatic stress disorder. Whereas depression, if someone were to, you know, get into a car and deal with depression afterwards, you're more likely to see them, like you said, kind of moping or withdrawn, not involved with, you know, the things that they love. If this was somebody who loved going, let's say, jet skiing or something, and all of a sudden they don't even, they get invited to that and they don't even have any interest. It's like, what's wrong with, you know, you kind of wonder, what's wrong with them? You know, that's kind of the first sign. You know, just a change in the norm, the normal personality traits that, you know, a person to have.
Because, you know, I had never heard anyone use the definition that any trauma can trigger, because then yes, we're all affected, because I believe everyone has been in some type of traumatic experience in their life, but I had never heard it click quite like that before. And so it took me a long time, Kadika, because I had a couple of accidents when I was in high school at the hands of other drivers and things. But I didn't know until maybe about 20 so years ago or something that those were traumatic, you know, traumatic injuries to the body. But I had never thought about it like that. It was like, you know, well, that was a car accident. Okay, I'm over it now. But it wasn't quite that simple, because I was in the hospital, you know, paralyzed on one side for a day and a half. And so my body did react to it, but I guess it went somewhere really deep in me or something. And I just never, you know, considered it to be a part of anything that was going on. But I'm finding out more and more that it could be the root of a lot of the things that I've experienced.
Absolutely. You know, our body and our mind holds on to trauma, especially trauma that has not been dealt with. There's a form of therapy called somatic therapy or somatic experiencing. And it's something that I am even looking into myself, because it's something that's kind of coming to the – it's a newer modality that's kind of coming to the forefront. So there's not a lot of practitioners who specialize in it, but it's specifically for those who deal with post-traumatic stress disorder or various forms of trauma, to where you can release those feelings of trauma outside of your body. And another way to even go about doing that, if somatic experiencing is not something that is readily available, is even dancing, just getting your body moving, getting that energy out. Moving your body and dancing is a form of healing and therapy, and people don't realize that.
Like that.
It's akin to exercising and stretching and yoga, but you have to find what works for you.
And I love to dance, and when I do, you know, it's more the I'm doing it for exercise, and not understanding that, you know, it's also helping to shake up some of that other stuff too. So that's wonderful.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That was something that I did in going through my healing journey, was dance. And I'm somebody who, you know, for the most part, I would say I'm a black girl that can't dance, you know, but that's not the point, you know, because that's not the point, because the point is I'm releasing energy and tension in my body. And so I would literally dance so much. This was at home. You know, I would get in front of the mirror and put on some music that was, you know, fast enough to where I can, you know, burn some calories at the same time, you know, and would just dance and dance that tension and anxiety away. And by the time it was said and done, I'd look in the mirror and be sweating and felt good about myself, you know.
Cool.
So, yes, it is such a healing modality. And there are different workshops that even that, you know, incorporate dance within them, because it can help heal even mother wounds, because you carry your mother wounds in your hips and in your uterus, and even moving your hips and like the belly dancing and certain types of African dancing helps to get those energies and the healing going, you know.
Okay. Oh, you're going to have me taking belly dancing next, huh?
Hey, we're going to take it together now.
Let's go.
Yes.
Yeah. But that's really interesting, you know, because we, you know, for whatever reason, I'm going to leave it like that, for whatever reason, we've been taught to think about mental health and mental wellness in such a negative, you know, like nobody ever wants to admit that they had some issues at some time. Because then, you know, so what's wrong with you, you know, like, so you can't handle your business, you know, because we're such strong people, right, everybody. But
yeah.
And so I know that I had stressed completely the hell out, you know, way back. And I was working. I just had this tremendous amount of stress on the job with responsibility of two different offices. Plus, I was doing a lot of training statewide. So I was always on an airplane going up and down the coast of California and raising a son by myself, and you know, just it was just all stacking up, you know. And I still was thinking I was cool, you know. I was in charge of everything, man. Just bring it on. Give me something else.
And, supermom complex.
Yeah, girl. Look, and so I flew back in this one morning and went to the job, and all of my employees was like, "There's something wrong with you. You need to go to the doctor." And I'm like, I'm good. And so eventually I did, you know, admit that I was feeling bad. And so I was going to go home. That was my intention when I left. I was headed home, and my car just turned and like, "Oh, no, you going to the hospital." And so to make a long story short, I actually had several sessions with a mental health practitioner, a very skilled doctor. And so he prescribed some medication, and I was like, I wouldn't take it, you know, at first. And he was like, but, you know, because he would ask me, did you get the prescription filled? I'm like, yes, I got it filled. He was like, well, you're not getting any better, you know. And so he was like, maybe I might have to increase it or change it or something. And so he kept asking. So eventually he asked the right question. He said, well, are you taking the pills? I'm like, no, I'm not, because I don't want to get hooked on it, you know. And so we had a discussion around that, and he explained to me that when you're going through things like that, any type of mental issues, that it's a hormonal disturbance. And he only wanted me to take the pills until that was cleared up. And he assured me that it would not be a long time. And so with that, then I said, okay, I'll take it. You know, I'll see what's going on. And sure enough, it was less than 2 months that I had to take the pills. But again, you know, just the fact of having to go and be seen by a psych doctor was just, you know, like, whoa-wee, man.
Mm-hmm,
you know.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And he said, see, people can accept if you have a broken arm and it's in a cast or, you know, you're on crutches or something like that. He said, but people can't relate to having something that they can't see with their eyes. And that's why so many people won't admit and won't seek treatment, you know, to heal some type of other disturbance. So.
I definitely believe that people are more apt to want to fix physical problems or physical concerns as opposed to mental or emotional concerns that they're having, because again, there's a stigma behind it. And it's unfortunate because, like we alluded to earlier, everyone at some point in time has dealt with some level of trauma or mental health issue or concern. So this is a very relatable subject and topic. It's just how transparent people are willing to be regarding the subject matter. And even like as you asked me something before, as far as to how the psychiatric world has kind of evolved over the last, since I've been in it. I've been in psych for 11 years, a nurse for 13, but there is even more resources available as far as like free therapy that wasn't necessarily available before. Or low or no cost therapy, and people don't even realize that even in the your professional setting, there is EAP, which is Employee Assistance Program, that's available. They offer up to 6 sessions for free. Now, it's not the best therapy. People, you know, if you talk to a therapist, they would tell you, well, it's not the best. However, it will kind of help get you jump started in that direction. If you do need assistance with finding a therapy or just need immediate assistance with therapy. There's also different hotlines. There's like the National Suicide Prevention Line, which is not just for people that have suicide ideation. A lot of people don't realize you can call in there if you're just having a mental health crisis. If you just need to talk to someone, you know, maybe you don't even want to tell a friend something that maybe you're not comfortable with it or you don't want to put that on them or whatever the reason is, you can literally call the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline and talk to a trained professional on the other end, and they can sit there and listen to you. And sometimes that's all the support that you need to get you through that crisis.
I didn't know that. That's beautiful to know.
Because
you can open up so well with a stranger,
it.
You know.
Exactly. And you don't have to feel like, you know, oh, she's going to go tell what's his name or, you know, or it's going to get back around, especially if you live in a small town or something, then you got to worry about that. But, no, I have definitely used that resource on more than one occasion. And both times I walked away feeling supported, heard, cared about. I mean, those people don't judge you. They're taught to sit there and listen to you. And, of course, they're going to make sure that you're, you know, you're not, you don't have any plans to commit suicide. That's their job. But once you bypass that, they're there to listen to you. Because 9 times out of 10, when people are going through crises, it's usually because they don't feel heard or understood or have someone to reach out to during that time. And so you got a lot of pent-up emotion and anger or what have you. Under that anger, those feelings that you're dealing with that you're not able to release or you don't know how to release.
Well, I appreciate you giving us all of this valuable information because, like I say, you know, I still believe that it's going to be more and more fallout with, you know, decreased mental wellness as a result of some of this, because there are still people, and especially, you know, the elders being so heavily targeted about stay in, and, you know, then everybody's afraid to be around them, you know, so they were severely hurt or hit, not hurt, with, you know, lack of people coming by to visit with them and things. And, you know, I believe that contributed to a lot of the issues that we have with declining health during that time frame.
Absolutely. And, again, people not realizing that there were resources available, different resources like telehealth. I mean, you've seen a rise in a lot of telehealth, teleservices, meaning you can still see your doctor or practitioner or therapist, but it would just be through a Zoom or, you know, over the phone, because that was something that even insurances didn't cover and pay for previous to COVID. So that's new, you know. There's been a huge rise in that, and a lot more insurances are willing to cover that now than whereas before. You know, they didn't care what the excuse. I don't care if your arm fell off or whatever it was. You got to go in.
Right.
Yeah,
because they didn't want people coming in, you know.
Yeah, they didn't. Exactly.
So what are some of the other, you talked about dancing and as a way of releasing tension and getting some good exercise in too, especially if you work up a sweat, man. That's a powerful way to do that. What are some of the other ways that if we find ourselves or, you know, like if we want to engage in active, because maybe the person that you're speaking with that you've observed some abnormal behavior, you know, you don't want to really tell them why I think you may be depressed, but, you know, you want to do something with them to help them to get past. You know, like you were saying, when you dance, sometimes you come out of it and you just feel all relaxed and stuff. So, in addition to dance, what would be some of the other activities possibly that a person can do singly or, you know, engage a friend or a loved one in so that, you know, they're becoming better without being targeted, you know, with, oh, like you said earlier, oh, you crazy.
Yes, absolutely. So in the past, when I was going through something, I had a friend buy me a journal. And at the time, I thought it was sweet, and I thought, and of course, I used it, but I thought about it later, like, wow, this was an act of love. So even something as simple as, you know, if you see someone struggling, buy them a journal. Now, journaling today is something that I wholeheartedly support, encourage, and love doing. There are different types of journaling. You got manifestation journaling, guided journaling. I even had a friend put me on a couple of years ago to journaling and speaking things into existence. So every year, every New Year, I'll write a letter to myself affirming myself, speaking the things that I want to do and want to see with my life. And then I'll go back and I'll read that the following year. And when I tell you the things that come to fruition from just writing them down, you know, this is a time where you write and you don't care about your fears, someone seeing it, you don't hold back. And when you write those affirming beliefs and speak about the things that you want to do in your life, and you go back and you read that later, I was speechless. I've been doing this for 3 years now. And every time I go back and I read those letters, I tell you, last year I was in tears. Or this January, I was in tears. But every time I go back and I read those letters, I'm astounded by how much has changed to fruition just from me writing them down. So to answer your question, I totally encourage people to get a journal, whether it be a journal that already has prompts in them or a blank journal. I myself like blank journals because I don't want to be stuck into writing, you know, what someone has prompted me to write. But there's nothing wrong with that. You have to, again, find what works for you. Something else that I love doing is voice journaling or voice notes. So I have an app downloaded for where I can just record. And there are times where either I don't have a pen and paper handy or I don't feel like writing. And usually it's times where, you know, sometimes you want to call a friend, but then you get to thinking, I don't want to put that burden on my friend, or this is not really something that I want to share with anyone. And so I'll get my phone out, and you were swerving down. I was talking to somebody. I'll get my phone out and just be talking away. And there were times where I would be crying, yelling, happy, you know, celebrating, whatever it is, because you're literally journeying your feelings and your thoughts at that time. And when I tell you, I will go back and listen to those later, and you can feel and hear the emotion and the intensity in the voice. And it's so healing to know that, wow, you were there and now you're here, you know? So that within itself is a form of therapy.
Awesome. Yeah. I like the voice recording too, especially when you're talking about putting all of the emotion in it, you know, because you can feel where you were, you know, when you're on the other side of it, or, you know, when you're through it. That's beautiful. I like that. I like that.
Yes. Absolutely. And even the other day, I found myself taking a walk. I love going on nature walks, especially when I need to feed my soul. And I found myself recording, speaking affirmations to myself and lifting myself up. And people were kind of walking. I was sitting in a, I was walking, but then I found a bench to sit down. And so at the point of where I, you know, was recording, people would walk past me and kind of look at me like, what is this girl? Because they can tell I wasn't talking to anyone.
Uh-huh.
And so they would kind of, you know, look at me kind of crazy. But it didn't matter because when it was said and done, I went ahead and got myself up and started walking again. And I played that right back. And when I played it right back, it was such a healing experience for me because I was literally pouring into myself in a way that I've never poured into myself before. I never immediately played something back and just listened to my voice because when I first began recording, I was in a mood. I was, you know, I was unsettled. I was in my head, overthinking, and, you know, that just kind of brings your vibration down. And so that's why I ended up in the park, because nature does heal. And so I thought to myself, I got to be around water and greenery, you know. And so, yeah, I went there to kind of to feed my spirit and speak to myself in a way that brought me out of that. And when I tell you I got to walking again and listening to that, I was literally just crying tears of joy, just thankful. And soaking it all in.
Fell in love with yourself, huh?
I am falling in love with myself every day. Every
awesome,
day,
awesome.
Yes.
And I just wanted to let you know that when you're talking to yourself, you are talking to someone. So, make that. Yeah, kind of statements, and it's something we've been told and taught, you know, don't talk to yourself. But, you know, you're the only one that's with you as long as you're with you. You know what I'm saying? Like from birth to death. And so who knows you better than yourself? But I really got to do that, that recording the voice and then, you know, as I'm going through and allowing myself to have the experience of the various emotions. So thank you for that.
Yes, and thank you. Thank you for that because you're right, I am talking to someone. I'm talking to myself. I matter.
Exactly.
I matter.
Yep. The best
thank
person
you for that.
There is. Yep.
Yes.
So is there anything else you wanted to cover specifically? I wanted to see if any of the audience had or a question or a comment, and you know, to open up some other dialogue as well.
I'm open to hearing from the audience at any time.
Okay, because yeah, we're down. We don't have much time left.
Yeah. Oh wow.
Okay, audience, it's call in number is 516-531-9819. Press 1 if you have a comment, question. If you would like to compliment Kadika on the various hints and suggestions and that she's given us, that we could use different activities and things to kind of ease some of that stuckness. That's what I'm calling it, just being stuck, you know. Mm. Because she says you don't have to stay stuck. And we've been talking about not staying stuck and the things that you can do.
Absolutely.
Yeah. We can keep going. Again,
okay.
At 516-531-9819. And we've got about 10 minutes. No, I'm sorry. We got about 20 minutes left on the show.
Absolutely. Something I did want to discuss, I guess it will be a great time, is the theoretical model of behavior, and it kind of supports the title of today's show, and being unstuck, because it is a model that you can follow if you want to change the behavior. Because oftentimes we sabotage ourselves by indulging or acting in certain ways that we know aren't becoming of us or aren't helping us to grow. So the trans-theoretical model there are different literatures that say different numbers of stages that it has, but I like the 6-stage model, which is pre-contemplation, contemplation, preparation, action, maintenance, and termination of old behavior. So, you know, when we want to change a behavior within ourselves or get unstuck, we first start out with, pre-contemplating. You know, is it worth it? Do I want to do it? Do I not want to do it? And then you get to the form of where you're actually contemplating making that change. And then you're preparing to make that change, and you put it into action. And then there's the maintenance that occurs, where you continue that and build it a habit, you know, and a habit is typically formed over a period of 4 to 6 weeks. And then there's a termination of the old behavior. So releasing the old you, shedding the old you, and hanging on to what's new and what has grown and what you have fed.
So is there literature on that, on those steps that you just gave us, because I know I didn't get all of them, and we do have a listener too. That has,
yes,
something.
Absolutely.
Okay, let's get the listener, and then we can come back to that.
Sure.
So it's 770-987. You want to give us your name and your comment, question, or concern, please.
Good evening. It's Nurse Harriet. I'm just calling in to say how much I've enjoyed. I am enjoying your presentation. I know you maybe thought at the beginning that you're not a public speaker, but that's not true. You've obviously proven yourself very very amazingly informative and helpful, and I just want to thank you. And
I
really like the information about voice journaling. I hadn't thought about that, and that's something I'm going to try. I really appreciate that information. So I just want to say I've enjoyed your presentation very much and hope to hear from you again at some point. You've been very,
thank
very
you so
helpful.
Much.
And like I said, you are a public speaker. You may not have thought you were, but you are. Because
wow.
you're, you're being your authentic self. And that's all it takes.
Thank you so much. I appreciate those words.
And somebody who obviously cares about others a great deal, too. So that's all it takes.
Mm.
Thank you.
Thank you, Nurse Harriet.
That was beautiful.
Okay, well, hold on a minute, because I think we lost her. No? Okay. All right. So now getting back to those six steps, it was six steps, right, in that in that model? Okay.
Yeah, so the trans-theoretical model, you'll find different literature that describes various number of steps, but I like the six-step model, which, again, is pre-contemplation, contemplation, preparation, action, maintenance, and a termination of old behavior. When you go through those stages, you'll find that from the beginning to the end, you will have transformed your behavior in a way that hopefully is more advantageous to who you want to be or who you are growing to be.
So do you use those six steps when you're doing that journaling at the beginning of the year?
No, actually, when I'm journaling at the beginning of the year, I'm literally I'm freestyling, as they would say. I don't have any intention. I just write whatever comes to mind, because that's the subconscious speaking. I don't try to control what I'm writing. I literally just write. Now, there are things that I think of while I'm writing, and I will continue to write about the things that I'm thinking about. But when I go into that, it's no structure involved. And that's how I recommend you to, you know, if anyone were to do that, when they're journaling, especially on blank pages, don't get so hung up on what you're going to write. Just write.
Okay. All right. What else you got for us?
I want to recommend a few podcasts that I listen to. Especially during my healing journey. And I mean, these are still podcasts that I listen to now, but I really hung on to these podcasts to help me to kind of get through certain things. And one of them is called Black Girls Heal by Sheena Lachey, and she's actually my coach. And then there's another one that's called Therapy for Black Girls. There's a third one called Cultivating Her Space. And a fourth one is called On Purpose. All of these podcasts promote healing and mental wellness. And when you don't have a therapist or a friend to talk to per se, you can go to these different podcasts and find that they can speak to you through certain things that you're going through and provide you resources or answers or even change your perceptions about something that you were going through that you once believed that no longer is true. Because a lot of the times you don't have to believe everything you think. A lot of the times it's in our head, and we get so stuck in that negative self-talk. And if you can't get out of that, you will begin to believe those things. So, you know, that's something that I learned from listening to these podcasts, you know, is that the negative self-talk that we have can keep us stuck.
Yeah, man. Because we repeat it so often in our head that we really think it's true, you know.
Don't believe everything you think.
I know, right?
Yeah.
I know somebody's probably out there like, what are they talking about?
But, again, that also goes back to people can all, just like when me and you met and you offered me this wonderful opportunity, people can see things within you that you don't necessarily see in yourself. And just like your call, the caller that just, Nurse Harriet, that called in, speaking life into me, you know, telling me that I'm a public speaker. And she's right. I was thinking, like, what am I going to say, you know, dealing with social anxiety and being afraid to step out, you know, worried about what people are going to say. But people can see the gifts in you that you don't necessarily see in yourself. So, again, if I were to sit here and believe and buy into my fears and listen to those fear-based thinking that I had, I would have said no.
Right.
And then what?
Right.
And if you allow your fear to paralyze you and keep you where you're at, and when there are opportunities presented to you, I guarantee you that you'll walk away and later think about how much regret you have from not allowing yourself to take upon that opportunity, because it's an opportunity for growth.
Right, right. So we've got another caller be line now. It's 217-652. You want to give us your name and your comment, please?
Hello, my name is Felicia.
Hey, Felicia.
I am, hey, and I am a really good friend of Kadika's, and I was just calling in to tell her that, one, I'm very proud of her for not letting fear block her and stepping out and taking this opportunity. And I have enjoyed listening to you guys talk about mental wellness and all the different things, just hearing her talk about how, you know, sharing her knowledge with us. And I also wanted to say, when you guys were speaking about depression and you were talking about all the different ways, I wanted to also just mention that also sometimes be very cognizant of the medication you take, because I recently was taking some medication for something and just realized I was feeling real different. And I told my husband, I was like, I'm starting to feel like I feel depressed. And when I went to my doctor, she kind of told me, oh, yes, this medicine, like basically she had to switch my medicine, because she was saying that this medicine that I was currently on for a thyroid issue I have, it can cause depression. So I just kind of wanted to throw that out there, and I just wanted to give my friend a shout out and let her know how proud I am of her for stepping out and doing something, even though she wasn't quite comfortable. But I want to tell you, you did and you're doing an awesome job, and I love you.
Thank you, friend. I love you too.
that support right there, man. Thanks, Felicia.
Absolutely.
You're welcome.
Man, that's beautiful. Beautiful, beautiful.
Yes.
Yeah, these side effects from some of these medications that Felicia's talking about, I see on TV that, and it seems to be like there's, I think the one where you twitch and your body has this, it makes your body have these sudden movements that you can't control in any kind of way. I think that was a depression pill that gives those TDH or TD something or another.
Part of this.
And then, yes, yes. And then what Felicia was just talking about, you know, the depression. Well, most of these pills have side effects, you know, that can really mess you up. And if you're not aware that the pills that you're taking can cause these issues, you'll just think, you know, that something's wrong with you. Oh, man, I must be having beginning signs of Alzheimer's, or I must, you know, getting ready to have arthritis and things like that. Whereas, and I'm so glad that she brought that up, Felicia brought that up, because we really need to be extremely observant of anything that we experience when we take in these chemicals in the guise of being helpful medicines, because not all medicines are going to be helpful for you, because everybody's body reacts differently to these chemicals. And so just be wise in your going about of what you're doing and how you're allowing the pills to disrupt your body.
Absolutely. And then you kind of people kind of get into the dangers of polypharmacy, to where they're on one medication and they have certain side effects, and they go back and they tell their doctor about those side effects, and now this doctor is ordering them this medication to cover this side effect, and now you're having this symptom or side effect, and now there's another medication. So you got to really be careful about medications and do your research and weigh the pros and cons.
Yeah, that's one of those pet peeves of mine, and it's not against anything. It's just we give up our rights because we become lazy, and we don't want to read. We don't want to study. We don't want to find out. We don't want to do the research. So if the doctor give it to us, it must be good. No, that's not necessarily true. And, again, mm-hmm. it's that your body doesn't react the way that most other people. Our bodies are all different. Our bodies are all different. So, okay.
Absolutely.
Whew, girl, you've given a lot
to
us. Uh-huh, go ahead.
Saying one more thing that we have to be careful about, too, when it comes to the psychiatric medications is patients who are suffering from depression. There's usually a warning label and a warning given by the prescriber that, you know, if you've been battling with depression and you start to take antidepressants, you could actually push yourself into suicide ideation or thoughts of committing suicide because now you have the energy. You know, as I alluded to before, I dealt with a depression a couple of years ago, didn't know I was depressed. Okay, and oftentimes that's not uncommon, but when you start to take medication and then you start to get your energy back up and your thoughts and stuff, now you're thinking maybe I can end this. You know, you start to think of different ways and to make it life easier or question whether life would be better without living. You know, and so people really have to be cognizant of the side effects of some of the antidepressants, which could be suicide ideation.
Wow. That's all I got on that one. No, I think it's just horrible, you know, that our system would allow these medications that are known to cause problems on the market for the public to be exposed to it and, you know, to potentially be harmed by it. That's just horrible to me. But,
yeah, I think that's why people are more so, you know, people lean more so towards homeopathic or natural remedy as opposed to man-made chemicals. I myself tend to not like to take medication either. I try to do my research on different supplements. And not all supplements are good either. You really have to be careful because they're not typically supported by the FDA. So, you know, you got to be careful. But there are supplements that kind of have been around longer, like St. John's wort, and that helps with depression and anxiety. There are supplements such as ashwagandha, which is which is another supplement that could be used to help to increase your mood. But again, you have to do your research and know what you're putting in your body and really pay attention after you start taking that supplement to see if you've noticed any changes, good or bad, to determine if this is something you need to continue or not. Because even St. John's wort couldn't be taken for a long period of time. It's not something that you can take for a lifetime.
Well, most of the medicines you can't even, you know, and I find that a little disturbing too when, you know, the doctors say, okay, well, you've got diabetes and you got to take these pills for the rest of your life. Well, but you know, maybe it is causing problems. you know what I'm saying, for that person.
Mm-hmm.
But their mindset is, I have no choice. I've got to take this the rest of my life. That's what the doctor told me. And so, yeah, just follow what the nurses are telling you. Pay attention to your body, how your body responds and reacts to the medication. So we're down to a minute and a half left, Nurse Miller. So if there's anything, so I called you doctor in the beginning, so
I received that.
Okay then. All right. All right. So is there anything you would like to leave, contact information or just anything with the audience, please?
I want to leave the audience with just a couple more resources for therapy. If you're looking for a therapist, they can go to Open Path, and they have free to low-cost therapists. I myself found a therapist for my daughter through Open Path and have recommended it to others. There's, again, Therapy for Black Girls. They have a wide range of therapists that are black or considered people of color that you can find, because oftentimes people, especially black folks, don't want to go to therapy because these people don't look like them. So it's like, what's she going to tell me about my life and that has no clue about my experience? And so there's that aspect. There's also Boris Lawrence Henson Foundation, which was founded by Taraji P. Henson, that offers free therapy. So those are just a couple of resources I wanted to leave with the audience.
Awesome. Awesome. And so I just want to quickly, from the notes that I took, we talked about dancing as an excellent way to release energy and tension, belly dancing and some African dance particularly, suicide prevention as a resource for their listening skills, employee assistance program that most employers have, telehealth, and journaling. And the podcasts were Black Girls Heal, Therapy for Black Girls, Cultivating Her Space, and On Purpose. And I only got the one therapist, which was Open Path. What was the last one that you said?
The last one was the Boris Lawrence Henson Foundation, which was founded by Taraji P. Henson. It was named after her father, and she offers free therapy.
Okay. So there we have it, and I am so delighted that you chose to do this in person and live versus having it pre-recorded, where no one can really get with you and ask you the questions and pat you on your back and give you all the accolades and stuff. So thank you so much.
Thank you for helping me step outside of my comfort zone.
Yeah, girl, look, you did the doggone thing. So we're all proud of you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You're fantastic. And we're about to start. We're going to make sure that we acknowledge you. Yes, yes, yes.
Thank you for having me.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. And I am Sandy Rogers, and I thank you for listening, participating, and please remember, it's all about life, it's all about love, and it's all about wellness. So until next week, remember, it's your choice. You can have a healthier lifestyle or... I love you guys. See you next week, same time, same station. Good night, everybody.
Bye. Good night.
Bye.